Okay, we're actually going to start with a video, so. So in that video, there were three separate people. There was the adulteress, there was Paul, and there was also the criminal that was crucified with Jesus. And we're going to focus on the adulterous woman tonight. So have you ever done something that made you feel that God couldn't accept you? Maybe it was that lie you told your worker to get out of work. Maybe it was that money you stole from your friend to get some temporary treat, like ice cream. I don't know. I'm sure that the adulterous woman was feeling these kind of feelings. And we're starting here in John 8, 1 through 11, if you have your Bibles. We see Jesus here in the temple talking to the priests. Well, he's actually teaching first. And the priests and Sadducees come up to him with an adulterous woman. And they're pointing their fingers at her. We see them say, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say?" And I find it really interesting that Jesus didn't even answer them first off. All he did was he bent down and he started to write in the sand. And I think one of the key reasons that he did with this was because if he answered them with a quick remark, it might set them off and they might try to come back with some more of an accusing towards him. And their main reason in bringing Jesus this woman was so that they could trap him, so that he would say something that could maybe twist his words and they would be able to find some fault with him. So he starts writing in the sand and then he stands up and he says, "If any of you is without sin, let them be the first to throw a stone." And obviously, everybody sins. And in the Bible, it actually says that the old started to walk away first and then the young. So we see here Jesus and is writing in the sand, and he has, we don't even know what he wrote, but I'm sure it was all the Ten Commandments, you know, lying, stealing, cheating, adultery, obviously, and all the people start to leave until it's just Jesus and the woman left. And so I kind of pictured them sitting there, and Jesus stoops down to her level, and he says, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one accused you?" And she simply responds with, "No one, Lord." So then he says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." And I like to picture Jesus as a God of a as a comforter, as kind of a father figure. So I found these pictures. And while that may not have been what the woman looked like, it kind of gives me a reassurance of, I picture Jesus doing that with us. I picture him as the one with his arms wide open, you know, saying that, "I'm here for you. I'm here to defend you. I'm here to make your wrongs right." And the key phrase here of what Jesus says was the last part where he says, "Neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more." So Jesus met this woman in her state of sinfulness. You know, we don't know really a lot of her background, but we do know that she was the same woman who anointed Jesus' feet before he was crucified. And she was also the same woman who went to Jesus' tomb Sunday morning looking for him. So she had a lot of history with Jesus throughout his ministry here on earth. Saying to her to go and sin no more, that was part of the deal. But for us to come away from sin, it's a two-part deal. God calls us to something better, but we have to put forth the effort to actually go do something better. He met her in her problem, but he also gave her a solution, a way out. And this also goes back to the whole theme of this week, where it's a choice we have to make. We can either choose to follow him and do what's right, or we can choose what the devil has to offer. I really like what Ellen White says in Steps to Christ, page 31. This just means that God loves you. Like, the reason he's calling you out of sin is because he loves you. And John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." He wasn't condemning this woman. He was calling her to a better life, calling her to come out of her sin and to follow him, because he is the light of the world and we are to be his examples. And so here in Steps to Christ, it says, "There is help for us only in God. We must not wait for stronger persuasions, for better opportunities, or for holier tempers. We can do nothing of ourselves. We must come to Christ just as we are." God's not waiting for us to be perfect, because that will never happen. We're humans. He's not waiting for us to get rid of all of our sinful temptations, all of the things that cause us in this world to just fall. He wants us to get rid of those things, but it's a process. It's not just going to happen overnight. He calls us to a better life, but we have to put forth the effort to actually do that. Our daily prayer should be, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Things aren't just going to happen. You have to put forth the effort, but God is giving you that invitation. And so I also like what it says here in Romans 8:38. "For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." All of those lists there are things that can never separate you from God. He has his arms wide open, inviting you to his wonderful kingdom, to the love that he has for you. And like the adulterous woman, like the criminal on the cross, like Paul. I mean, he met Paul on the road to Damascus, ready to persecute Christians. And yet, boom, he just met him. He had to make him blind first in order for him to see that. But then afterward, Paul became one of the, like, the most renowned Christian preachers in the whole Bible. And the criminal, he was at his wit's end. I mean, he was on a cross, ready to die. But yet, God met him where he was and said, you know, you can come to my kingdom. You just have to accept that invitation and ask God for forgiveness. And I truly believe that we'll see that criminal in heaven. I believe we'll see this adulterous woman in heaven. I believe we'll see Paul in heaven. And all these people come from backgrounds that are sinful, but we're human. That's what we are. But we can become better with God's help. And that's what he's saying here. Principalities, powers, the things of this world, none of that can ever separate you from God, because he wants you to have a better life and he wants you to be in his kingdom with him. But you have to make that decision and make that physical choice in order to choose him. And again, the call, you know, the prayer of our heart should be, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Once we have that pure heart, once we have that steadfast spirit, not only will we be able to prove ourselves to God, but we can be an example to the rest of the world. And even in our sinful state, God can still use us to bring the message to others.